What's up, guys? I'm Nobody Special, and we have a special guest back with us. Once again, Lax Ganapathy, the CEO and founder of Unicus Research, is with us. She came on the channel on October 1st, just a few weeks ago, and you had an excellent call, Lax. We were talking about First Brands and Tricolor, and you were pounding the table. These are not isolated events like everybody is saying. This is a systemic issue, and we're going to see more of these. And since then, and just the few weeks since then, we have seen more of these, several of them. So welcome back to the channel. Thank you for coming to see us and take a victory lap. Congratulations on that call. I think you deserve it.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's very, yes, I spoke about this. It's not an independent event. And there were three or four bankruptcies happened, and some in the auto, and like you mentioned off the record, some in telecom. But it is very sad because you do have investors, retail and institution money on involved and mixed up in this, and consumers are getting on the hook for this. So we are going to see a lot more of this, unfortunately. So, but thanks for having me back.
My pleasure. We're very lucky to have you with us here. And again, it was a really good call. And you said we're going to see more of this. So how about we see some more of this?
Yeah.
Just today, we got this one. Actually, I don't know if this was today. Was this a few days ago? Okay, October 27th.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah. Auto lender First Help notes at risk of a downgrade by Kroll. Not a bankruptcy. So let's get that out there. But this is more of the same. I'm just going to read a little bit of this article, and then I'll give you a chance to react to it. Seven classes of notes from four deals by auto lender First Help Financial are at risk of being downgraded by Kroll Bond Ratings Agency after losses mounted in collateral portfolios. The four transactions from the auto lender had delinquency rates as high as 6.69%. Higher delinquency rates, something your work has pointed to. Cumulative net losses up to 5.56%, according to Monday's release from Kroll, which put the deals on watch downgrade. The designation signals meaningful potential for a ratings cut. According to Kroll, the credit grader will use reasonable efforts to reach a final conclusion within 90 days. The ratings warning on the Needham, Massachusetts-based firm comes a week after the bankruptcy of PrimaLend Capital Partners, which provided financing to low-end buy-here, pay-here car dealerships. It also follows a month after the collapse of subprime auto lender Tricolor Holdings spooked investors, igniting fear of fault lines forming in the credit market. And of course, we're overlooking First Brands as well. So, you know, this is an interesting story, Lax, and it kind of rhymes a little bit here with what you said about First Brands and what you said about Tricolor. We've got large losses in these auto ABS,
yeah,
rising delinquencies, and everybody told us these were isolated events. Even yesterday, Jerome Powell at the FOMC was asked if he had any concerns about subprime credit. And he was channeling his inner Ben Bernanke. You know, he said, oh, we believe those are contained. Are they contained?
No, they're not contained. And I think they are all reading as script because no one wants to spook the market. We are not going to talk about whether they are being objective. They are following the data because there has been no data. And it's not isolated incident. And everybody, Jack, when I say this, everybody is freaking out behind the closed doors. Everybody is like, make sure we are not the next, you know, how are our bonds doing? And are we having consumers paying us? If we wanted to write off something or take a hit in the charge-offs, let's come out first and say we have a problem and we can take a hit. And that is a lot a better way to deal with this. So people are behind the closed doors. The big banks and bondholders are reaching out to their either the in-house crisis management team, or they're hiring a crisis management team because nobody wants the reality to get out. Because let's take Tricolor incidents first, right? Tricolor incident would have never happened if they did not stop the payment to Fifth Third Bank. So our sources said, we don't know the amount, but the second Tricolor stopped paying Fifth Third auditors started auditing the entire loan book. I don't know if I talked about it last time. Every time on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis, the auditors are supposed to audit the entire pool loan to sign off that their loan book is healthy. In reality, what they do is you can pick and choose which loan out of 20,000 loans or 10,000 loans in a pool. The lender can pick and choose which loan needs, which the borrower, which loan that needs to be audited.
Can I pause you there real quick? I'm sorry. That's a huge point you just made, and I really want to emphasize that. The lender is selecting the loans to be audited. The auditor is supposed to be keeping the lender honest. So the
No. The auditors, I think Melody and I talked about this off the record, and the auditors technically supposed to audit, but what they come in and they sit down and they're like, okay, tell me what to do. Right? And you tell them what to do, they do it and they sign it. And we try to reach credit rating agencies, and their job, which was told by to us, that not to audit, they audit the documents that are audited and signed by the auditors. So you have checks and you need to have checks and balances in place when investor money is involved, and there are no checks and balances. So Fifth Third
Wow.
Bank, when they did not receive anything, they have their auditors audit the books. They found out that's been double plunging. So let's take a step back. And that spooked the bondholders because now everybody who's is freaking out, and they're like, okay, am I holding the loans that are riskier than I think? And does it even have a collateral? Because the collateral went to Mexico, right? So Tricolor, and then First Brands happened. First Brands is not a loan. We are looking into another company that are similar to First Brands and that are doing some things that they're not supposed to be doing. We just want to make sure if it's going to follow the same path as First Brands. Now, with First Brands, we have to understand the layout. So First Brand is, sells auto parts, right? To and AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, they sell them to those big companies. Those big companies has a tie-up with a banks, one bank or multiple banks, and they say, okay, I just bought an inventory, $100 worth of inventory from, let's say, for example, from First Brands, and can you please pay the First Brands? So AutoZone, according to our sources, has like more than a year worth of payable terms. That's not factoring, that's kind of borderlining financing. So then they instruct the bank to pay First Brands right away. So the bank pays a certain percentage of invoice, say they keep 10% and pay the $90 to First Brands right away. So in this layout, you have to understand that bank is holding the bag. They have to wait until they get paid by AutoZone. And First Brands, for their liquidity, heavily reliant on AutoZone approving that invoice to be paid to them. So there is a contract going on between AutoZone and First Brands, and then AutoZone and the bank, and the bank, and the bank and First Brands, I don't think they have any kind of contract, but you have we have to read the prospectus of each and every contract, and I couldn't get my hands on it.
So who in this scenario actually has the exposure to First Brands? Is it a name like an O'Reilly or an AutoZone, or is it ultimately the
The
bank that is
banks.
bag holding here?
The banks.
And they're offering 1 year terms on these, which are basically short-term loans on receivables, factoring, and they're
Well,
a year.
yeah, it depends. It goes anywhere from 90 days to 180 days and more. It depends on how much AutoZone, O'Reilly, Advanced Auto Parts pressures for the terms. And AutoZone is a very, very big conglomerate in the industry. So they get as much terms as they want.
Wow. So I wanted to share some other things that I found here. I had a viewer reach out to me about this first help situation. And I'm going to throw this message exchange. By the way, I checked with this viewer and I made sure, we're not going to reveal names or anything. We'll maintain his privacy. But he was talking to a friend of his who is a finance and insurance manager at a very large auto dealership chain. And he was asking about this first help company. So if you want to know what's really in these bonds, listen to this exchange. The guy says, "First help, another subprime auto lender with bonds taking a dive due to delinquency. Are you familiar with the company?" This finance manager says, "Yes, very familiar." My viewer asks, "Is this the next bankruptcy? Is this a buy here, pay here company, or a company you would use on one of your lots?" He answers, "It's a bank that we use in major dealerships." Now, technically, First Help is not a bank. They're not regulated like a bank. They're a shadow bank. They're or a non-bank, what is it? A non-depository financial institution is really what they. The many names we have for these people who think they're banks, but they're not. He says, "So not subprime." And the man responds, it's a subprime bank, but it's used in major retailers like Sonic, AutoNation, et cetera. I'm just saying it's not a bank used only in buy here, pay here lots." When do you go to a company like First Help? He asks. He says, "Mostly when you don't have a social security number." And my viewer here is rightly saying, "Wait, so it's Tricolor-ish." He says, "ITIN, which is a taxpayer ID number, 100%. Now, this exchange goes on here. He says, "I'll tell you this, First Help had the fewest requirements at the time of funding. Their reps were allowed to give finance and insurance directors around five more exceptions than any other subprime bank, which is why every dealer in the country loved them. They were the fastest growing subprime lender in the auto industry. When I was working with them, they were also starting to expand into the housing market." Oh, that's good.
Oh
First
my
began using
goodness.
them back in 2021, and then he lists the name of his dealership, which I've blocked out just to maintain his protect his anonymity. Lots of exceptions. You don't need a social security number to take a loan with them. My guy's right to point out Tricolor here. How much of this stuff is out there, Lux? I mean, these are companies I've never even heard of, and now they're turning into these systemic risks to the market.
There are a lot of shadow banks that started popping up after 2007, 2008. And First Start Financial, I haven't heard about it, but what I do know about them is I'm trying to find which bank backs up. What everyone needs to know about shadow banking is shadow banking and private credit. They are not banks. They're not regulated. They act like a bank, but somebody has to back them up. So commercial banks, the banks that you do know, the banks that you might have accounts with, they are the ones backing the shadow banks. Wells Fargo backs shadow banks. JP Morgan Chase backs them. Bank of America backs them. Everybody does. So First Financial is first, sorry, First Help. Its full name is First Help Financial. It's a auto finance company. It's just not backed by one single bank, but it backs, are you ready for this? It's backed by funding from various sources, including warehouse line of credit. First Help, I'm going to repeat it again. It's auto finance company and not a bank. Got downgraded. It's not backed by a single bank, but instead it secures its funding as a collateral from warehouse line of credit from multiple banks, including community banks and other capital market sources. What we also find out is that First Help, yet again, packages its auto loans, buy here, pay here, subprime, or no credit score, packages them into asset-backed securities and sells the bond to institutional investors through Deutsche Bank. Now, these ABS might be in the retirement 401k. These ABS might be in everything that you are investing in an ETF, which you think might be safe, in other kind of investments you think might be safe, they might be investing in this. So it cascades into this is how a random, nameless first help becomes systemic because it is very, very interconnected. You have to understand we are interconnected now more than we were in 2007, 2008. And Deutsche Bank, who else backs up First Help? Deutsche Bank Securities, JP Morgan Securities, Goldman Sachs, right? Deutsche Bank Trust Company of Americas. These are not publicly disclosed, but randomly mentioned. These guys back First Help. So banks are in trouble. And the way it's going to unwind is big banks will be bailed out. Fifth Third took a $200 million write-off, turned around in a couple of days, and merged with CMA, Comerica, which is another crappy bank. So you take a hit, come outside and say, hey, let's just stay in front of this, guys, and take a write-off, marry another crappy bank. Then you become a roll-up, try to clean your house inside, and eventually become too big to fail.
And that I remember seeing that Comerica Fifth Third merger and saying, why would you do this? Why would a bank that just lost a bunch of money in subprime auto buy a bank that lost a bunch of money in commercial real estate? It's all
To
about hurry up
hide.
and get too big to fail, right?
Yeah, to hide and another millions of dollars that no one is finding out.
Now you touched on a subject there, warehouse lending, warehouse line of credit. That's important. And correct me if I'm wrong, a warehouse line of credit, when you're one of these auto lenders, right, you make your loans, but you borrow a large amount of money to make the loans out of that pool of money. And then while you're waiting, right, because these loans are sitting on your books, you park them in this metaphorical warehouse where they sit while you're packaging them into a bond.
Yeah.
Then you dump them on the ABS market, you get the
Yeah.
money back, and you pay back the warehouse line of credit. That only works so long as you can access the ABS market and you
Yes.
have investors with appetite for those things. How is that appetite looking right now?
Not so good. We just spoke with at least a few weeks ago when Tricolor happened. It's funny because it's funny and sad because we started looking into asset-backed securities in June, July, and we realized there is nothing comprehensive here. We wanted to put together and see where the cracks are because equity looks so beautiful and valuations are skyrocketing. But when you look at ABS and the health of the loans, especially the vintages in 2021, 2022, 2023, it stinks. It really stinks. And, it's not going to come back. The residual interest will come back or not come back the more OC goes to zero and money is not getting paid by the loan people who borrowed the money. But the people who are holding those, the bonds, it's just gone.
So
So,
if this goes the way of a Tricolor, this First Help, which it hasn't yet, right? Let's back up a little bit. This hasn't happened. They're just at risk of a downgrade, but there's a lot of similarities here. It's the banks that issued that warehouse line of credit that are ultimately holding the bag. And you listed a couple of names there. Those are some of the biggest names in Wall Street. And
yes,
after
and those are the
2008,
names,
go ahead.
those are the names that are going to come out and say, well, I guess we did another mistake. Well, I guess we did overlook. And $200 million is like a drop in the bucket. It's not a big deal. But that is not, it's a problem that is going to, that is already spreading. And at the end of the day, it's going to be consumers. FISERV, Pfizer, you mentioned. The underlying, if you look at their earnings call, the underlying problem of all of that, they serve the banks. The underlying is, it says, consumer lack of affordability. It is in their financial earnings call transcript. So consumers are at the center of everything that's happening.
What does that even mean, a consumer lack of convertibility?
Affordability.
Oh, affordability.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Sorry.
that is very clear. There's nothing open to interpretation there.
No. And Varo's line of credit is like you said, there are two things to understand. There is a warehouse line of credit and the floor plan lending. So warehouse lending is a credit line to the lender. So like you said, they can fund new loans today and take the bank out later via ABS or loan sales, like you mentioned. Floor plan, and the reason I'm talking about the floor plan is, and I didn't read the news completely this morning, a news popped up saying that the demand, the dealers who are tapping into the floor plan line of credit has decreased, which means they are not using it, which means they don't want to use that line of credit because the cars are not selling.
Inventory piling up on lots. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. So
Yeah.
we talked a lot, and you're right, at the heart of this is a consumer who can't afford to consume anymore. And
Yeah.
all these various terms for different kinds of financing,
Yeah.
a lot of this is determined on or dependent upon a flow, right? Loan in, loan out, loan in, loan out. And these companies take their fees along the way. And if at the end of the day the bond market loses appetite for these things, then the pipes are clogged. And when you get a clog, something bad happens upstream. Anybody who's ever had a toilet back up probably knows what I'm talking about.
The toilet backs up and stays on the equity and on the financial statements for everybody to see, and it hits their bottom line.
And you don't see that until it's too late, right? I mean, it happens
As I
suddenly and
always,
violently.
yep, as I always say, like if you read it in the media, it's already late.
So, what are some of the names? I don't stop me if I'm treading too much into your proprietary research. I don't want to go where I shouldn't, but there are some names. Let me just spout one off. Carvana, all right? I mean, Carvana just reported earnings today. Let's share my
Yeah.
screen. This is a company that does. They're hopelessly dependent on the ABS market. Where is it? Here we go. Carvana revenue up as retail units are sold. I mean, I looked at Carvana's earnings report and I see big growth numbers, most car units sold ever. It looked like a really good report from Carvana.
Yeah.
And then I look at the stock today, it's down 12.2%. So is the market just calling BS on Carvana's earnings here? Or is there something else going on under the hood?
It's yes and no, and I'm going to, forgive me, read from my notes because there's too many things going on to keep in my mind. Yes, they had like the numbers are looking good on the surface, and to be completely transparent, we are not recommending Carvana as a short to our clients. It's very risky, and we are asking retail investors not to short anything because that's risky, especially Carvana. And the EBITDA margin declined 40 basis points compared to last year. The reason Carvana is collapsing is one is macro, and a couple of them are cyclical, is that GAAP EPS miss and EBITDA margin decline, and the street is speculating for a seasonal margin give back in Q4. What do they mean by that is Q4 is usually tougher on retails and wholesale GPUs. Elevated spend in elevated advertisement spends continue to add to the pressure for Carvana. And it also Carvana also mentioned in the call that Q4 should see sequential GPU similar to last year, and that retail and wholesale GPUs typically get pressured by higher Q4 depreciation. And they also added that other GPU will look more like Q4 2024 because they plan to pass the financing gains. This is important to listen. And they are laying the groundwork for Q4 being crappy and into the 2026 as something similar to healthy. They said Carvana added that other GPU will look more like Q4 2024 because they plan to pass financing gains to consumers, which is lower APRs. Another reason for margin to come down, Q4 spend is expected to be higher than Q3. So are they buying the investors by passing on their lower APRs?
That blog boggles my mind. First of all, they're so generous. They're passing the savings on to
Very
consumers. So
generous.
let's be honest, they're not doing that. Understand, folks, what that says, right? We just got done talking about how the subprime space, which is what Carvana specializes in, is seeing rising delinquencies, rising losses in the bonds. And Carvana is now talking about lower interest rates at a time when risk is moving higher.
Yeah.
They are going further out on the ledge of risk and subprime borrowings. And even still, some things you mentioned there. GPU, by the way, that's gross profit per unit. This isn't an AI story, thank God. That basically their profit margins per vehicles. They're saying that's going to look more like 2024, which means they're going to go down, less profit margin per vehicle, margin compression. And they're talking about offering lower financing at a time when they should be going astronomically higher because these are riskier and riskier borrowings. Make it make sense, Lux. What are they doing here?
I think we know from our sources that they are taking market share away from companies like CarMax. CarMax, we recommended as a shot to our clients around north of 100. Today, I haven't looked it up. Today, it's around 30, give or take. They are taking market share away from CarMax, and CarMax is laying off people through automated messaging and other forms. But what's going on is Carvana is trying to come out as somebody who offers low APRs for consumers to keep putting them in the car, which is critical to for everyday Americans. So it's kind of buying clients. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, they're buying, they're trying to capture market share.
Yeah.
They're buying clients by taking on more risk in an environment where risk is like the plague at this point.
Yeah.
Now, and again, let me just disclose, I'm not short this name. There is a high short interest in Carvana. This is at risk of being another Beyond Meat name, which is why I'm not short it. And I'm Lox, I think you're wise to suggest people not short it also because that is risky.
Yeah.
But I want to show you guys a chart because we're talking about the auto ABS market. And there is a lot of risk and a lot of losses piling up in the auto ABS market. And the last time Carvana was basically denied access to the ABS market, the last time they were unable to park these loans in somebody's retirement was back in 2021. And look at what the stock did afterward. It went from around $370 at the high, and it bottomed out, what, around three?
$4, $3.
$4 it bottomed at? This is a company that is hopelessly dependent on dumping that risk on somebody else's balance sheet. And they're telling us with this passing on the savings to the consumers that they intend to increase that risk. It only works as long as the ABS market buys what they're selling.
And that is a very, very valid point. And I'm glad you opened this chart to show what happened when that happened. And this is why we started looking into asset-backed securities. And since we are not recommending Carvana as a short, we are publishing that in our newsletter for everybody to analyze. And we have been doing it for all the trust. And we are doing something called liquidity overlay, as in use the data analysis that we derive for Carvana overlay to the corresponding financial statements to triangulate when they're going to take a hit. And what we are doing is for all the trust that they have in the Carvana, not the one that they moved to Bridgecrest or not the one that they moved to Ally, but the one that's sitting in Carvana, we are using something called EPS stack to see how much it's going to, it's, we project it to deteriorate. And first quarter 2026, fourth quarter 2025, and into first quarter 2026, second quarter 2026, the ABS market and its deterioration in 2022, 2023 vintages for Carvana securities are seeping into the equity side. And that is going to take a dump. And when that happens, that's when everybody will say, I don't want it to take anything from Carvana on the asset-backed security side. And that might be one of the reasons that they are shoving their crap, lack of better words, I'm sorry, it infuriates me, to Ally for $4 billion. This makes Ally another junk. Right. So we are also doing the ABS tracking to Ally, and it's hard for us to differentiate, which we are working on, which part of the loans that are coming in from Ally itself and which of them, which loans are coming in from Carvana. It's hard to segregate that. So it all comes and sits in one big dump. And I wanted to add, if I have a few extra minutes on about Carvana and the reason we are not recommending as a short, right? There is something going on with, I have to say this. So Carvana's GPU is under microscope and they are gain on sale, right? One of our sources, there is a Lithia Auto, and their GPU is not over the moon. And, you know, one has to wonder, like, how is it that Carvana's GPU is in the 7,000s range when, you know, other GPUs are in 2,500 or maximum 3,000 range? Like, how much of this Carvana's GPU of 7,000 range is associated with the warranty income? So there is something called Vehicle Service Contract, VSC, is essentially an extended warranty. It's a third-party protection plan, covers certain repairs or mechanical breakdowns beyond the original manufactured warranty. So Carvana, we heard, markets these as an optional add-ons when a buyer finances or purchases a car through their platform. I'm reading this from my own report, which I'm going to add it to the report that I'm going to publish today in our newsletter. The vehicle service contract attach rate is the percentage of the vehicle sales that includes a service contract. So when Carvana says they are experienced higher financed and VSC attach rates, it means larger share of consumers finance their purchase through Carvana rather than paying cash or using outside loans. So Carvana is originating its own loans and make sure the consumers are buying the extended warranty, which is VSC. So they are like a fee income that they generate. And sometimes they are, consumers are required to put in an upfront cash payment from warranty administrators or insurers. So in that process, Carvana earns a commission-like revenue or a share of the VSC premium. Okay, so and this VSC vehicle service contract premium, it's offered and backed by a third-party underwriters who are yet again banks, CNA National Bank, Ally Bank, or other banks. Okay, so that's why we are a little staying away, because if you look deep into the Carvana, they make money in the using ADESA in the auction with the arbitrage, the price differences. They make money through this kind of VSC fees. So they have other sources of revenue coming in, which we don't know what other sources they are doing, and most of them are not transparent. That makes us to stay away because I can analyze until I just fall asleep on my face everything that I can see. If something is opaque like this and they are making money, I don't know where they're making money from. And it all comes under other income. So I will leave you with this thought that what this implies is that if Carvana has a GPU of like 7,000 around that range, and most and if not all of those GPUs is coming from the VSC number, it comes from warranty income. So it's just I can't separate it, which one is the price of the car, which one is the money coming in from the warranty. So that's why their GPU is like abnormally high. I
And
don't know if I'm making it clear.
you are, and I'm not an accountant. I don't have an accounting background, but I dabble with this stuff, and I do know that a warranty is essentially an insurance contract. And if they are booking the profits from the sale of that warranty, then somewhere on their books should be a liability associated with that vehicle service contract. It's got to live somewhere. And we should be seeing that. I mean, I haven't gone and looked for it. I mean, do you know, are they
I haven't looked
understating these
into it.
liabilities, or are they even in there?
I haven't looked into it, but I'm happy to find it because I do have to find it for one fund manager. So I will end up doing it anyways. And if I do it, I will keep you posted and keep you in the loop.
Yeah, so that could be a ticking time bomb on their balance sheet if they're not accounting for those service contracts in their
And
liabilities column.
here's the kicker. So they are including this VS, oh God, vehicle service contract, VSC. They are including the fee that they are collecting from this under the GPU. So that's why the GPU is higher. And what we are hearing from our sources is no one is honoring the warranties, and it's an issue in the industry. No one is acknowledging the warranties that you pay a fee for. That is included in the GPU. It's not being acknowledged. And that is a huge problem, not only for Carvana, but for CarMart, CarMax, everybody.
And I can tell you there have been a number of reports issued by short sellers and other researchers over the years that have drawn attention to this drive time outfit that Carvana does business with. And drive time is owned by either the brother or father or both of Ernie Garcia, the CEO's, his family owns this drive time company, which is a related party that they're transacting with. And that introduces the risk that maybe they're just kind of pushing these liabilities off their balance sheet, hiding them elsewhere. It's a big risk. And the kind of things like collecting money and stuffing your channel with vehicle service contract revenues for warranties, not booking the liabilities, and then not honoring the contracts at your dad's mechanic shop or whatever that they're using, that's a huge legal liability as well.
It is. And the problem for Carvana, and this is the short seller's argument, right? This is the accounting treatment for GPU is a short story in from our point of view, is that the 7,000 GPU amount includes a car, the profit they make from the car, selling the car, and the warranty fee that they are showing it. So which is a forward-looking profit figure they are pulling in, right? And we are seeing cracks in the Carvana's ABS data from 2022 to present. And the final portion, the accounting treatment is the short story. But just because you can identify it, just because you can write a thesis that saying we heard from sources, GPU includes the warranty fee that they are pulling forward and all of those, just because you can prove that doesn't mean the company is going to stop doing it. And that is the bull thesis. That's why investors who buy this thing, they do not care. They do not care at all. So management will play this game as long as they can, And we don't know when the top is in or when the bottom is in. So that's why we try to stay away from Carvana as a long as well as short.
So this is probably the part where I should see why my A. So I'm gonna mention I do not have a short on Carvana or any of the other names that you mentioned today or that we discussed, with one exception. I do own some puts in Ally Financial. And real quick, I'll just talk about that one. I wanted to short Carvana. I saw that high short interest. I saw the cult that had built up around the stock, and I didn't want to get beyond meted or open doored. So I stayed away from that one. But as I was researching it, I did realize that Ally Financial owns enough of Carvana's debt and ABS to wipe out half of their capital in one fell swoop. And so I do have a short position in that name. And I just want to be upfront with the disclosures. That's the only name that I have any position in that we talked about today.
And I tell to we share with investors and everyone, do not short Carvana. It's not worth it. It's just, we don't know. There are several scenarios that plays out. You don't know whether they cleaned up their act. You don't know the other sources of revenue. They have built a vertical integrated business model, and
It's hard to dig
having
into that.
what's that?
Vertical integration is also a house with tinted windows. You can't see into it. You can't see
Yeah,
what they're doing
and
because
it
of all their.
also they have an they bought an auction house, which really has been helping them. So I'm not for or against. I just, there are several ways to make money on the long and short side. There's no reason to chase one thing so badly.
And this is an irrational market, and it can stay this way a long time. Let's keep that in mind, folks. Locks, I just love your research. We're so lucky to have you come on the channel. You mentioned your newsletter earlier. I'm going to put a link to that one down in the show notes below so people can check that out. I highly recommend that. Also, I'm going to put a link to Unicus Research, your website,
Thank
down
you.
below. I'll give you the final word here. Anything you want to leave us with before we wrap up?
I wanted to thank you for having me again. It's always great to discuss these things with you. And I hope I added some value to your listeners. And as a thank you, and as a thank you of Carvana reporting earnings, I'll offer like a 20% discount on my premium membership today for Substack. I think it's Confidential Insights. It comes under our founding member. That's where we publish these asset-backed securities for Carvana. So I'm happy to do that.
All right, so people can get 20% off on your is this on your
Yes.
Substack or on your premium service?
On Substack
Okay.
on today. Yeah.
And how do they have to enter a specific code or
Well, I'm
anything?
going to change the pricing as I get off on this. So that would be perfect.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
Yes.
And folks, check out those links down below. Once again, Lox Gunopathy from Unicus Research. Fantastic work, Lox. Thank you
Thank you.
for your time. Everybody else, till next time, live small
Thank you
and
so
dream big.
much.